Then we came into contact, again by my father, with a little group of Beachy Amish people, a little mission in Belgium. And these people have been so beneficial in our lives. They were the first people we ever met there with a godly home, with children that were in order, with modest, real modesty in a right way, with many of the thoughts that we have here, very many. And that immediately changed the atmosphere in our home. We're so grateful and we're so happy that the Lord brought us into contact with them. It was too far away, we thought, at that time to go every Sunday. It was about 2.5 hours drive, and for Holland that's way too much. So we went there every 3 weeks. But what a joy and what a blessing. I saw my wrong feelings and attitudes, and when I would do things that were wrong, I'd often confess to my wife, and she said, you know, I don't know if that's right, that you should always fall, always stumble. The school was getting more difficult. They did not accept our alternative questions anymore, like could we do something else than go to a dirty film, or could we do something else than go to an international trip where students and teachers just get rip-roaring drunk and speak well about it when they go home and write stories of how great it was. We never went along, and we asked them for alternatives, and they were getting more and more cross and angry at us. They didn't like our attitude of being different than the rest. I didn't know about the text as applied in that way, but it was happening in our lives. Peculiar people that irritate the common mode. Then, in 2003, Brother Denny sent out a message that he was planning to re-preach the godly home. And my wife, in her desperation and hope, said, could you maybe go? Maybe there's an answer for us. Who knows? And we scraped together all the money we had, and we went over. I bought a ticket, and I went over here in February of 2003, I think it was. And I still remember sitting somewhere there in the back where Brother Denny then said at a certain moment during his messages, it's on tape, of course, he said, you know, bringing up children for the Lord is 90% blessing and 10% discipline, if not more blessing. And I was struck to the ground as if a lightning bolt went through my heart. For the first time in my life, I opened my eyes to the fact that I was not a blessings papa. I was a grim, disciplining dad. And when I looked at the children, they would quickly look at themselves because dad's looking at me, so that I'm probably doing something wrong, unconsciously. I cried and cried, phoned my wife, told her what was going on. What an impact on my life. So I went back home, gathered the children and my wife together, cried my head off, confessed my wrongdoings, and blessed them for the first time vocally in my life. With a boy of 16 years old, and the youngest was 5 or 6. Don't get into the same rut, brothers. Don't separate discipline and bringing up children from the blessings of a benevolent father. Lord, does let the sun go up over, you know the text? Just and unjust. So the Lord's blessing all those people. Every day the sun comes up, all the unjust are blessed. We might feel our children are unjust. We can't go without blessing them. There's so much. I expected our older children, especially our older son Ralph, to jump in my lap and kiss me and hug me, and that would be good forever after, but it doesn't work like that. You know, an affronted brother is as a strong tower, or what does it say, strong castle. And your castles have big doors, and they don't flip open. You know, it's rusty and creaky, and after a week I said to my wife, what's going on? Here I am, I've confessed it all, and there's little response. She said, don't worry. Be patient. Don't hurry. I can say, by the grace of God, that the Lord has restored what the locusts have taken away. He did. He did. Praise the Lord. Still have a lot to learn. I'm not a perfect dad, but that was a lesson I'll never, ever forget. So Brother Denny was on his way to Ghana in 95, in the beginning in January, and he asked if it was possible maybe to visit us. 94. Would it be possible to visit us? We said, well, if you visit us, could we maybe get some friends and family and maybe organize a meeting or something like that? He said, sure, fine. So we found a church near Amsterdam Airport, and we phoned as many people as we could, and we were there, and there were 54 souls in the meeting there, and we had a good time together. It was a blessing. Brother Denny was struck by the openness of the brothers there and the sisters, and he said later on in an email, could we maybe not organize, even said it that day, that weekend, could we not maybe organize a weekend of meetings? I wasn't too sure, because in the church where we come from, the people are not, they will not tend to come out on Sundays. They go to their own church, and they're actually supposed to be there, and then you're not really supposed to go anywhere else. So I was not too positive. It took a lot of coaxing from Brother Denny's side before we finally consented and said, okay, we'll contact people. We still weren't too sure what was going to happen. So as some of you know, we met some of you brothers and sisters there in September of 2004, where we had a weekend of meetings with 168 people on the campgrounds, together with a whole bunch of the worst type of psychology students from a modernistic university. You remember, some of you? Drug addicts, and looked terrible. You would never bring your children in a place like that, would you? We did. But I told the brothers beforehand, we're going on a missionary trip. And when you go on a missionary trip, you don't select your public, the people that are listening. And we had a beautiful opportunity to speak with them. They were very curious. They had no idea what we were, and they came with their questions. And it was beautiful. Openness. We actually had hoped that somehow maybe a little like-minded church would spring up somewhere in the west of Europe there because of the meetings. Many people came. Many people enjoyed it immensely. We had altar calls. People came forward. Things changed in life, but it didn't really have an effect. The school, in the meantime, had announced that in the coming year they had a new rule, and that was that parents would have to sign a paper saying that they would not interfere with any curriculum activities at all. Well, to whom was that directed? So we knew our time was drawing to a close. We didn't know when or how, but it looked like the year after our boy, Harry, would not be able to go to the high school there. We would just have to go to move. We didn't know what to do. We even thought about the fact, Lord, how would we even be able to move? We have no money. Well, it's on our heavenly bank account, but I can't withdraw it myself, can I? So Brother Denny was there at the end of the meetings, and we had a nice evening at the end when it was all done, with fellowship together in the home, and we placed this question on Brother Denny's lap. Brother Denny, what do you think we should do? Could you please give us some brotherly, elderly advice? We are absolutely alone here in this area, and the schools are closing. We have to do something. We don't know what. And Brother Denny said, I have advised many people, but in this case, I really don't know what to say to you. I really don't. So I thought, oh, this would have been so beautiful, a chance to hear from a brother with wisdom. He said, but don't, I think I should tell you this. Bring it before the Lord. Be very specific about it. And he said, I don't think it's wrong if you would put it in a time frame. Say, Lord, we're going to pray for 6 months. Will you please show us in 6 months what to do? Sort of risky, but we had no other alternative. So we started praying. Keniston girls prayed along with us. Maybe the whole family, I don't know. I think so. And every month our children would contact their children with a little update. How is it going? What's happening? Well, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, nothing happened. Month after month after month. And it was already late December when one of the children came up to me and said, Dad, you know, we put it in the hands of the Lord, but, you know, nothing's happening, Dad, so maybe you maybe you should do something, you know. You should. It was well meant, but I didn't know what to do, so I said, well, you know, we put it in the hands of the Lord. Let's leave it there. Let's just wait and see what the Lord's going to do. We had been training a person that does the same work I do for a new training center in Cleveland, Ohio. He was with us for a long time in training, and I went in December to Ohio to help him get started there doing the first courses. I train x-ray service people that repair x-ray machines in hospitals. I was here. It was fine. It was good, but I didn't feel anything special at all. It was hard work, long hours every day. Came home very, very tired. That was it. New Year came, 2005, and the end of January, I think the 29th, suddenly, little email that this person in the States was resigning. He had such personality problems with somebody that was sort of over him there, he just skipped. And his boss was also my boss in Holland. He was very, very nervous and upset. What to do now? How will we ever get somebody trained to do that work? So we had departmental meetings, and they just discussed back and forth of maybe shuttling people in there every time for 3 weeks, and nobody was interested. Nobody had any idea of wanting that of a group of seven people. And it was at that time that I felt a little prompting in my heart, a little prompting that the Lord started pushing and saying, Klaus, in this case, I think you should just stick up a little finger. You know, sometimes the Lord has things to say to us, but they are so quiet, they're so silent, that if we have internal noise going on or external noise, we won't hear it. You won't hear it. Soft as a zephyr, I think Brother Chambers says in his daily booklet. And it's true. It's true. And thank the Lord that we were at that moment open to His promptings, and we felt, yes. We prayed together about it. We thought about it. We were clear on it, both of us. So I stuck up a little finger and said, we'd be willing to think about contemplating, you know. And they jumped on us with great enthusiasm. This was just, oh, they were so happy to have that. And we talked with the director in Cleveland over the phone with the HR person, and they were very blunt. They said, Mr. Cowan, we heard that you're interested in coming. Why do you want to come? I said, well, it's very simple to say. It's not for any business reason at all. It's just for homeschooling reasons and for church issues. That's fine. That's fine. Now I know them. They're not Christians. I was amazed. I said, but do keep in mind, we're with a big family. I have seven children, so it's not a simple operation. Oh, no problem. No problem. I was amazed. We'll send you an offer letter. You sign it on the dotted line, fax it back, and you're in business. And then we heard nothing. Month after month after month. So we didn't know what to think. It was the middle of March when finally the offer letter arrived. So with a little bit of discussion and signing it, everything was in order. We were on our way to the States. They would take care of the visa. They would pay our ticket for the flight. They would move all our stuff. A few weeks later, my wife looked in her agenda and she said, Klaus, do you know when that offer letter actually came? It was 1 week before the 6 month period would have ended. It's really, I cannot tell you what that means if you, and I think, well, you, many of you know, when you go on a life of faith and you come to a place where you see the wall coming and there's no other opportunity, nothing to do, the Red Sea, you might say, you know, you're standing there with your toes pretty well in the Red Sea, and the enemy's from behind, and the walls on the all sides. And then the Lord delivers. And that's an opportunity to really, I think at that moment you see the amazement of God working in the lives of people. But is that something special? Do we have to save that for posterity, for our children or whatever? No, that should be something that we experience, every single one of us. Do we live a life of faith? Are we seeking God? If we seek God, He's going to put us in this press. He's going to start to push us, to knead us. And that hurts. You know, we can also seek wrong things, and that's something I just want to send over as an admonishment. It says in John 6:44, words of the Lord Jesus, "How can ye believe which receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" That's easy to do. I think especially in very nice big church surroundings, to have that jockeying mentality. I don't know for sure if that's here. I can just think so. I really don't know. Where, you know, what is our reason for being holy, or what is our reason for living godly lives? Is it to impress each other? Or is it to seek the honor that cometh from God only? Brothers and sisters, if that is our motive, the rest will come in order. Don't worry about that. Yeah? Don't seek honor. Let us not seek honor from one another. That wasn't the last Red Sea experience. The tickets didn't come. The visa didn't come fast. Just at the last nick of time. The tickets we did not have 5 days before the trip. So some of the family that wasn't too excited about what we were doing, the church here was not seen as in the right doctrine. For Holland is virtually all into a, if you are saved once, that's for all times. And so some people were not too enthusiastic about us going, and they would say, "When are you going to the States?" He said, "Well, I think next week Monday." "What do you mean you think?" "Well, we don't have any tickets yet." And people would look at us with this air of, "Are you a responsible father? Are you a good..." And I'll tell you, that's the way God works. Because you will be put to shame in the eyes of others. They'll just look at you and think, "Ah, stupid." And what do you do then? Do we start vindicating ourselves? "Well, it's the problem with the company," or... No. You know what we're supposed to do? Just look stupid. Don't worry. Don't worry. We have a saying in Dutch, "He that laughs last, laughs best." And we didn't laugh, but the Lord opened the way. The day after that, the tickets came, e-tickets, and we were ready to go, and we left on Monday, and all the criticism died out. Yeah. So we praise the Lord for what He did there. That was a very beautiful moment to come to the country where we were able to homeschool. It was an enormous hurdle for my wife. She didn't speak English that well, and we had very big help from our daughter, Lisanna, who was able to stay home. She was already finished with high school. We came in an area where we went to a church that we discovered was in the status of falling apart. And we have gone through quite a few difficulties and problems in that area. But the first moment we thought, "Why in the world, Lord? Now paradise is opened, you know, the Lord is opening the Red Sea and now we come into paradise." Well, it turned out to be a desert. And if you think about it, that's exactly what happened to the Jews, and we know about their tendency to start complaining. No water. Do you know what most of the complaints with Israel had to do with in their journey to Israel? Do you know that most of the time their complaints had to do with food, water, or the lack of it? And how the Lord judged His people for their food mentality? I think that's also a sign on the wall for us in our affluent generation of, you know, being tuned to food and want it our way. And that doesn't make any difference, America or Holland. Sorry, we're in Western society and we just have way too much. We can choose and be picky. I don't think it's of the Lord. Brother Maxwell used to say in his missions treaties to the students and to the staff and to us little boys that were, of course, sitting there, "Where He leads me, I will follow. What He feeds me, I will swallow." Yeah? You never forget things like that. And you just think, that's the way, Lord. That's the way we have to live. The work was very pleasant. We had a beautiful house. We still have a very nice house to live in with 2 acres, rental house, 7 bedrooms. Some of you have been there to visit us. What a paradise. So in that area, it was beautiful. But with the church, we went through problems, sometimes criticism, difficulties. It was not easy at all. The church kept falling apart, disintegrating. and we are alone with one other family. So you can say, well, brother, didn't work out well, did it? You were looking for a church? The Lord has taught us so many sweet lessons in those years, in our little tiny culture shock of coming to America, and in getting along with others, getting along with each other. It brought the family closer together, these problems, instead of pushing us apart. So we're so thankful and so joyful for this time. It was supposed to be so, I think. We had the opportunity to cut ties with our home country, with our family, that ones that we would like to, of course, visit and see. Last year, our daughter was asked to go on for a 2-year GES workers period in Ghana, and we were overjoyed. It hurt, for 2 years is way too long for your flesh. But we were so overjoyed that that long ago pledge on the womb of my wife was working out. So we were thankful. Here's a daughter that's willing to go to the mission field. Praise the Lord! And it was as if the echo came back to us from the Lord. What about you? Well, we're old. I'm 50 already. But some brothers and others gave us some very influential books that we started reading, like, you know, maybe some of you know them, Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper, and brothers from books from K.P. Yohanan, and other books that we had been reading already, impressing upon us the fact that you can't just say, oh, Lord, send another. We have, all of us, we have to be willing to go or to do what God wants us to do. It might not be the mission field, but we have to have that willingness to go. And we talked about it with each other last year and beginning of this year, and we said, you know, we don't know if the Lord's ever going to use us. I don't think it practically will happen, but we can at least from our side make sure that there are no anchors out into things that might hold us back. Ties, emotional ties, ties with stuff in the house. Oh, I could never live without that teacup because it's from my grandma. Yeah? So what did we do? We chucked it away. Oh, that hurts bad, but it's gone now. Feeling freer. And so we went on. We started throwing away things in our life. We started finding out, is there anything, Lord, that would just keep us from being available? Myself, I was thinking about the fact that I was a Canadian because I was born there, so all the children are. Maybe the Lord's going to use us on Baffin Island, maybe, to reach the unreached Inuits, Eskimos there. I would be willing, Lord. That's okay. I don't know if you're going to do it, Lord. We'll leave it up to you, but here we are. So that's the way we went to missions conference this year. A little bit with an unsure heart. My wife said, I'm a little bit troubled because, you know, the Lord just might start doing something. I don't know. We received a very clear calling from the Lord there in the conference to lay down our life just really on purpose. With no idea what would happen, but here we are, Lord. And we spoke to Brother Ross Ulrich at the end of the conference. He said, Brother, I don't know how or what, but we just want to say that as family we are available. If we can do anything for you or help in any way or whatever, we are just willing to be available. That's all. Little did we know that two other brothers were in the missions conference talking with each other about the need for the school in Wawasee and discussing the fact if they could maybe ask us if we would have any feelings towards that area because, you know, might just work out or so, but he's working in business and what would he say? We didn't know that. And we heard later that in the missions board, these brothers then brought it up and asked for advice, and Brother Ross had not told anything, and at the end he piped up and just simply said, well, they've actually already made themselves available. For us, again, such a, oh, Lord, what a beautiful way to bring people together. It's not us urging ourselves on the brothers, we've got to do something. It's not brothers pulling at us, telling you have to do something. And the Lord just brings the hands together. So it made us again, for the so manyth time in our life, it made us very silent. Lord, are we in any way worthy to go over there? Are we in any way worthy to work for you there? Brother Mel told me that in the 3 months that we were going through all these decisions in life, they at their side, without us knowing it and without them knowing about us, had been going through 3 months of serious prayer for a family to go to the mission field. You know, the Lord works like that. I think we should not underestimate the power of prayer. So let's not just give up praying for each other, amongst each other here, seeing people. The Lord often answers prayers in very different ways than we think, and mostly later than we thought. We'd expect an answer now, and the Lord seems to keep us in suspense till it's too late. You remember the story of Saul that felt he needed to offer when Samuel wasn't appearing, and just went ahead and did it, and then had all sorts of nice comments towards Samuel and was very disobedient. We have to be willing to sit tight. I sometimes say, fasten your spiritual seat belts and just go through the ride. It's not going to be easy. But the Lord works in that way. We've seen it too often to be able to disregard that. What would the business say? Would they be very upset with us leaving after 2 years? And I'm amazed. Full blessings from an unbelieving director and the whole department. Well, class, we thought we are aware of the fact that that's probably where your heart is, right? So we're thankful about that, and we can truly say that. When I want to wrap up what I've told up till now, I would like to say that the Lord is at work today, and it is up to us to open our spiritual eyes to realize that He's at work, every single one of us, you, all of you here. Does the Lord see you in your difficulties? People that are listening via tapes or via the speakerphone. We were alone for many, many years, 7 in total, 4 of which we had no contact at all with people. Does the Lord work out miracles? Yes, He does. Does He do it when we think it's necessary? No, I told you. So we can show a patience in knowing that the Lord is in control. He knows exactly what to do at which moment. We're longing to serve as a family, and we have stated we do want to forsake all and be His disciples. We really request prayers of you in this preparation time. I hope to go over for 11 days of visits in Ghana in 2 weeks' time, the last part of May, to see the work there, to talk with the brothers and sisters. And I would like to state the fact that the spiritual army is just like a worldly army. You know, there's some people that go maybe to the front lines, but there's a great big mass of support. People at the back, all these people that don't maybe see a bullet flying, but are very important. If they wouldn't do any work, no soldier could fight. Yeah, the soldiers don't worry about their daily life. You know what they get, it says in the Bible. Why? Because that's taken care of. So the rear side and the front side of the army are just as important. You might say, well, yeah, but you know, it's really nice to be in the front, because then, no, God must receive the glory. God wants to see that like-mindedness of Christ in every single one of us, and it really doesn't make any difference where you are. Let us be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives, where you are now. Let the Lord prepare you. Let the Lord work it out. Let the Lord cleanse your life. Find out how to renounce the works of Satan that I did, so that I found release of that bondage that I was under for many years. And let the Lord make us true and open, and people with an open and clear countenance towards God and to other men. May the Lord use the words for His glory. We have no expectation that it's going to be easy, and there's also, I think, importance to not be pointed towards success. If we are looking at success in life, we are just like businessmen that want to have profit, want to have good results. So I think we should all be willing to lay down our lives. So likewise, whatsoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And that's here, and that's also in Africa. May God bless you.
Thank God for a clear, beautiful testimony, how God works. It's a blessing to sit and listen how God moves in hearts and lives and orders our steps as we yield to Him. And how He does bless, how He does lead when we do yield to Him. Everything. What a joy. I'm going to just open up here a little bit. Maybe God has spoken to your heart today. I want to give you opportunity to just share with us. If you feel God leading you to share what God has done, or how God has worked, or what God is doing in your heart and life. Just raise your hand and give you an opportunity. Anyone else?
God's blessings always lie beyond the testing. I appreciate this encouragement this morning. To face, the commodity of the future for us to seek is a tested faith. That's the only thing we can take into the future. And if we don't have a tested faith, we don't know if we have a faith that's going to be there and we need it. I'm thinking this week about the children of Israel. God can do anything. He could have made a 8-lane superhighway from Egypt to the Promised Land with a magnificent bridge over the Red Sea. He didn't do that. He put those children of Israel, the children of Israel, through test after test after test. And when they came to the place of stepping across the Jordan to God's blessing, only 2 men out of 600,000 had the faith to say, "Yeah, that's for us. We can have those blessings." I think that shows the value of faith. Every test is a test of faith. And so many times we see our need in those tests. And that's a blessing too. Even in our failure, there's good. We made a move this week that was a test of faith for us, another one of those. And I talked to Brother Luke about the house first time. It looked like an impossibility to me for us to move. And we saw God bring provision at just the right time, within days before we actually knew that we could move there. Again, God was faithful. But I want to express appreciation this morning for the hearts and hands of you all that made that possible too. There are people that said they're praying for us. We very much needed those prayers. And there were those that gave their time and energy. And thank you so much. I appreciate the way that the Yoders and the Lambrites just took it on themselves, like the burden of the move, like it was their own. That spells love. And that's a blessing to the body of Christ. And for us, I should say perhaps for me, this isn't about a new house. God has something else in this, beyond that. Something bigger, something deeper. And I don't know what all that is, but it's more than just a different place to live. And that's the way God works too. We see the surface thing, but many times we set out on some venture with God. God, that's what we see. God always has surprises for us. And so I'm anticipating those surprises. And thanks again, brothers and sisters, for your support.
Amen. God bless you.
I was very blessed and challenged with the testimony and message in the testimony. I had to think of Moses as it was spoken here, not to push things, but to think how Moses wanted to help his people. And he had to flee for his life. Didn't work out good. And Brother Klaus was just saying how long they were without fellowship. Well, you know, sometimes God has to teach us something before we're ready for the blessing. I can testify to that. It's just, I think every Christian that truly comes to knowing the Lord goes through those trials. He has to learn to take care of the sheep before he's ready to lead the people. And I just had to think of the title up here, A Peculiar People. I think the last words that Brother Klaus said here, he that does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's what peculiar people do. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. I think many of us could identify as he shared how the Lord worked in their lives, and then he likened it to the children of Israel at the Red Sea with their feet in the water and the armies behind them, and how God opened the way by his mighty power at that moment. And that is a joy and a blessing to see God work that way. And most of us have probably experienced some of that in a little way, maybe some more than others. But I could identify with what he was sharing there. Okay, one back here.
I just want to say thank you so much, Brother Klaus, for the message. I feel God really used it to confirm in my heart that God seeks to bestow his choicest blessings on those that seek to withhold nothing from him. And that's what God has been really working out in my own heart. And it's not always been easy for me to accept that. But this morning I've been really encouraged that God wants to bestow his choicest blessings on those that are willing to give him all. Thank you for that encouragement.
Thank you, Sister.
I want to speak a word to the sisters. I failed so often in the past years. I married my husband and I looked up to him, and I forgot so often to pray for him. When he went through his struggles and he had his weak points where he was struggling with, I was sometimes so upset instead of praying for him. And I was the nearest person in his life. I knew what was going on. And I was sometimes complaining in my heart. And when I look back, I wasted years to be a real, real helpmeet for my husband. And when I saw that, and I started praying for him and fasting for him, and then the Lord changed my life more than his life, but he also did a lot of things in his life. So I will encourage you, when you see your husband and you see that he's struggling and things are difficult in the family or in church issues, pray for him and lift him up for the throne of God, and he will do marvelous things in your family and in your situation, and he will bring you as a wife closer to the Lord and closer to your husband instead of being more apart.
Thank you, sister. A few words fitly spoken at the right time are very powerful. Thank you for sharing with our sisters. God bless you.
I just want to thank the Lord for the way He works things out. This week, I guess before this week, I was starting to feel like things were going somewhere in my life, and I was starting to feel a little better physically, and I started kind of trying to work things out in my own strength, and the Lord had to pull those things down and show me that it's His time and His way, not mine. And even where it wasn't just physical things that I was weak in, but some spiritual things too that I wanted so bad, and yet the Lord was showing me you can't do them on your own. And I just, even this morning, the Lord showed me once again that it's not me, it's for Him. I was really blessed with the messages, and I just want to serve the Lord and follow Him and not try to go ahead of Him or lag behind. So, thank you. Pray for me.
The Lord bless you, brother. All right, we're going to bring this to a close here. One more testimony here in the back.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciate the clear vision that was presented to us, that a life of faith, a life of trust in God in a very practical way, not just in finances, but also just in all of life and just trusting the Lord for those things. I appreciate that. It's something that God speaks to my heart about, and I'm not there, but I want to be there, and I know it's a life of crucifixion. But I appreciate that example and the clear vision that was given to us. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Well, thank God for the rich feast we were able to receive today. But what was laid out before us is like, you know, having a table prepared before us, but then there, what if there's some who are not hungry and some who don't want to eat? And one of the signs of sickness is if you're not hungry. We experienced that this week with some of our children who are sick. And one of the first things we began to recognize that they're sick was that they weren't hungry. And so the food has been given. And if you found yourself here today not hungry and not enjoying the food, maybe you're sick and need a doctor. But may the Lord bless each one. I want to encourage us all to walk with Him and draw near to Him and take the testimony that we heard. And just seek the Lord and say, Lord, what would You have to say to me? And shut that music off. Shut off that noise that you listen to continually. And take some time to listen and meditate and see, is there some noise in here that needs to be shut off too, so that I can hear the word of the Lord.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.